This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. May all the words of our mouths and may all the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be comfortably seated on the piano or otherwise. You may have noticed that there's a gorilla in the room. Her, not me. According to Chris Metzger. But it's really not surprising that you would see Coco here this morning, just sitting there, being her wonderful, beautiful, and delightful self. What's she been up to lately? I'm so glad you asked. Earlier this week, she decided that all of you, all 300 of you, needed to go home today with a blank thank you note card in your hands. And so she set about the task of making them. And she's got one basket there where she will be at this door, and that amazing Bobby Smith will be somewhere near the other door to make sure you cannot escape without getting your special note card, a card that incorporates Coco's own photography. There are 20 different cards in all, but today you only get just one. She has this feeling that you're gonna wanna send a thank you note to that person you've been meaning to send one to for quite some time and just hadn't gotten around to it. Well, anyway, not only is everything better with a gorilla, but I've learned many things by being with Coco. We've been together for almost 33 years, and we have traveled by car through 38 states. Although she thinks she does most of the driving, I can tell you that I have had my fair share of long driving days, like the time we were traveling on Interstate 80 across some place called Pennsylvania, thank you. And if you've ever done this, you know it feels like it takes 3 days to get across that entire state. And just when I thought I couldn't take it any longer, and I begged Coco to let us pull off and find a hotel for the night, there she was sitting, looking straight ahead, as if with her selective hearing, she could not even hear my words. And so do you think we stopped right then? No, that's right. We didn't. There is no use arguing with Coco, or a gorilla for that matter. Apparently, I'm the one who is impulsive and is always wanting to pull off at the next rest stop to see if they might have some TCBY frozen yogurt or check out the apple pie at our favorite Amish restaurant in Middlebury, Indiana. Picture Coco in an Amish restaurant. Can you stand it? In our travels, Coco and I often incorporate music for some strange reason, and we thought we would do the same today. For now, all you need to do is to sing two words, and the two words are went away. So whenever I give you a cue, you're just going to sing went away. Let's try that on cue, though. went away. I know that look on her face. It's the one she gets when she knows that Herb Collins isn't singing out as much as he usually does. Let's try that again. Went away. Okay. It's really cool that Coco and I would be asked to bring a sermon to this faith community today because it's all about that wonderful parable of the 10 lepers. Not leopards. Some things never change. I love the parables, all 46 of them. They're not just little stories with little messages. They're much more than that. They are stories that always seem to have the right message at the right time, year after year. And thanks to the common lectionary, thousands of churches all over the country are hearing these same scripture lessons today, which means that you can go home and get on the phone and call a friend in California or New York, and you can tell them what you were thinking about with the parable of the 10 lepers, and they can tell you what they were thinking about with the parable of the 10 lepers, and you might even be able to find out if they have a gorilla in their church. There's a nun in Hartford, Connecticut, named Sister Miriam Therese Winter, who is also a songwriter, and she wrote a song about the 10 lepers parable. And the refrain goes something like this. Now be ready with your went away kind of stuff, especially Herb Collins, okay? 10 unclean and nowhere to go. 10 men cleansed as clean as snow. 1 returned to give God thanks, but 9 went away. In the Jeremiah reading that we heard just a little while ago, the exiled people were being urged to settle down in Babylon, to not just follow their first impulses and to sort of keep to themselves because they were of a different political persuasion. Through the voice of Jeremiah, God spoke to them and told them that they were to ask for help and welfare from the people of Babylon, and that they were to pray for the people of Babylon because those were the very people who would be giving to them the help and the welfare. How about that word, welfare? Isn't that just a little sticky sometimes? At least in our modern society. But if we look back in the Hebrew Bible, the word that is used there is shalom, which we all know means peace. That's right, peace and well-being and wholeness. Thus, the people in exile were being urged to live in peace and harmony with people of a different political persuasion. Just imagine that. And these were the people who were to somehow not follow that first impulse by keeping with themselves. Then there's St. Paul, our early urban minister and urger, always using phrases like, remember this, or let me remind you. Paul was obsessed with trying to help people to stay faithful to the life of Christ. And he so wanted people to move away from their old convictions and traditions and to find new ways of thinking about things, because that's what Jesus did when he came to be with us. So there you have it. Two scripture lessons that have something to do with the basic impulsiveness of human beings and maybe gorillas. Two lessons that set us up for receiving a very special message from the gospel, which this week is that wonderful parable about the 10 people who were suffering from the dreaded disease of leprosy. There are so many directions that we could go with this parable, but today I would like us to think about our basic human nature or our human condition. Let's set aside things like the complete healings of 10 people all at the exact same time. Let's set aside the obvious dreadedness of the disease of leprosy. And for a moment, let's even set aside the 9 who went away. After all, it was Jesus who told all 10 to go away and show themselves before the priests. And so those 9, following that impulse of following what Jesus told them, went away. And then there was that one who also, like any human would, follow that first impulse and to be trotting away, and then something nudged him to turn around and to come back. I remember a time 34 years ago when my dad's twin sister in a sleepy little rural village in Vermont had her life taken away by a neighbor who then took his own life. As family and friends gathered, my dad went over to the 2 daughters of the neighbor and said to them, "I want you to know that our family in no way blames you for what has happened. And when you have a funeral for your father, I will be there to represent our family." You see, this older gentleman neighbor had been suffering from dementia. And when my dad was there, he was already hearing those first impulse grumblings by family and friends who were saying, "Well, those 2 daughters should have done something different with that man's living situation so that this would not happen." And my dad, as the one perhaps hurting the most by this tragic event, didn't follow that first impulse and jump on the bandwagon of grumbling. He paused for a moment, and his second impulse was to go over to the other side and to offer words of forgiveness and reassurance. I can say, being there that day, that I began some of my healing right then and there. And then 2 weeks ago, we sat in front of our televisions and we listened to a young man whose brother's life had been taken away sit in a courtroom and offer words of forgiveness to the person who had been convicted of the crime. Then he turned to the judge and asked if he could offer a hug to that convicted young woman. There was some kind of an awkward pause, and I was waiting to see the camera pan over to see what the judge's reaction was. And he waited. And then he sat up just a bit more, and he asked again if he might offer a hug to this person. And with tears in her eyes, she granted his wish. Just like in the other story, there were family and friends gathered right there in the courtroom, and there were all kinds of people out in the streets who were clamoring for a different kind of justice. But it was the action of this one man who later shared in a television interview that he believed what he did was to respond in a Christ-like way. Once again, healing began to take place that day. So in both stories, there's the basic human nature and human condition that we respond in certain ways, and yet there was at least one person who took a moment and chose to respond in a different way. And I believe in my heart that that response was a big nudge from the Holy Spirit. It happens all the time if we allow it and just kind of get used to how wonderful that can be. Marlo Thomas, in a television ad, says, "St. Jude's Hospital will not stop until no child has cancer." She shares that this was the vision of her father, Danny Thomas, almost 50 years ago. Danny Thomas, the one who had a vision of something that many would say is impossible to achieve. Danny Thomas, the one way back then who must have understood that the dreaded disease of cancer not only touches many of us, but certainly touches all of our families in one way or another and in our circle of friends. And so there it is. We have the choice. We can be like the one in the parable who chose a different action. And in these more modern stories, to be what we would understand to be the movement of the Holy Spirit. Later on today, you will hold in your hand a blank thank you note card that Coco has so lovingly prepared for you. And you'll be able to take that blank note card and sit down with pen in hand, and you can choose to write those usual words of gratitude that always seem to flow from the pen, or you can say a prayer. Step back and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the words that really need to be read by the recipient. Marlo Thomas, carrying on that vision of the one from 50 years ago, telling us that yes, each one of us can participate, and we will see a day when no child has cancer. We are constantly being invited to be like the one. And if we can find that oneness, each one of us, then that's a lot of oneness like all of us have here in Jesus, who's the one that taught us about oneness after all. Being the one, looking at the endeavors of our world as they are today, cancer, and other things that are so many throughout this world, we can make the choice not only to be the one, but to not stop until there is no longer the nine that went away. 10 unclean and nowhere to go, 10 men cleansed as clean as snow. One return to give God thanks, but none.